Hello, friends. I hope you had a fantastic Christmas and that you made good choices over your Christmas holiday. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that today, the choices that we have control over. What if next year could be different? I mean, I've heard so many people say, I've heard myself say, I cannot wait until next year. But what if you and I have the opportunity to change what we have control over? You know, I've been working with teenagers a lot more over the fall season, and I've been reminding myself of what I used to tell teenagers when I was a youth pastor, that the choices you make today affect the options you have available to you in the future. And as I was saying this to our Solid Ground youth back in October, and I was thinking, this is still true when I'm 24. This is still true when I'm 42. It's true if I can't even remember how old I am. there's power in our choices. Now, I don't always do this, but I want to tell you some good choices that I've made. I mean, after following Jesus, hands down, I'm not just saying that because I'm a pastor. That is the best choice I've ever made. But like right after that, choice 1A is marrying Marie Collins. She was known as Marie Ranahan back when we went to college, and she doesn't know I'm saying this. So hopefully she's really happy that I'm doing this. And hopefully you're going, oh, that's so sweet. I'm really glad that we chose to have three children on most days. I do love them. Being a dad, it's all I ever wanted to do when I was a kid. What do you want to do when you grow up? I said, I want to be a father. And I've made poor decisions too. I was trying to reflect on what's a poor decision that I can share in this format. And I remember I was about 5 years old and I wanted to play Jonah and the whale because I just heard the story. So I filled up the bathtub, but the water was clear. And I thought, that's really strange. How can I make it look more like the ocean? And for some reason, I thought newspapers would make it look like the ocean. So I got all of my grandpa's newspapers, and he would buy four or five a day. I filled the bathtub with newspapers until it was just the soggy mush. And that definitely affected the options I had available to me in my future. And I don't want to spend too long on my bad choices, but I also made the choice. I thought it would be a great idea to play co-ed recreational soccer. And I came home with a broken nose. It was the most painful game of soccer I've ever played. And I've benefited. As I was reflecting on choices other people have made, I'm so glad that not only did we move to Rancho Cucamonga, what an amazing place to live, I work right down the street from Tio's Tacos, but I'm glad other people decided to put a church here, decided to stretch, decided to go out into the unknown and plant Solid Ground Church in this burgeoning, growing city of Rancho Cucamonga. And now, 40 years later, my family is benefiting from their sacrifice, from their discernment of listening to God, and from the culture that they built here. We can always, always make a new decision. And that's one of the tricks of the enemy. One of the tricks of the devil is to think you can't change. You're stuck where you are, or you're past your prime and you can't do anything else. But God's mercies are new every morning. And if you're like me, like some days I put my head on the pillow going, I'm really glad God's mercies are new every morning because I might have just used them up all today. Like, I'm glad God will give me more tomorrow. But there's this idea of we can, as long as we have breath in our lungs, we can change. That's the good news of the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, the church in Philippi, in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. We'll never arrive. We'll always be growing and learning. And the older we get, the more we actually learn from our mistakes. And we don't have to be afraid of those. That's when true growth happens." And even one of the founders of the Christian faith, one of the first followers of Jesus, gives us permission to say, we haven't arrived yet. I haven't achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. It reminds me of City Slickers, Curly. The one thing. That's going to be a theme So if you're taking notes today, underline one thing or highlight it in your Bible. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receiving the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us. Jesus' hands are outstretched, saying, I'm calling you on to this prize. We do have effort, we do participate, but God isn't asking us to do anything outside of what God will give us help to do. We can do the impossible with God's help. And in spite of our best efforts, God will help us get there. So when you think about 2021, doesn't matter. I'm not talking about who's the president, what happens with the vaccine, whether we have to wear a mask or not. I'm thinking, and I want you to think about things you can control and what you can make a decision about. What is one thing that if you changed in your life, it would make a huge difference? Is it your habits? Like, you know, some of us, it's December 27th. Some of us are going, I don't even know how this happened, but all of my New Year's resolutions are out the window and it's not even New Year's Eve yet. Like, I've been there so many times. But if we don't set a goal, we'll definitely hit it. And I'm not talking about this New Year's resolution. There's this daily, and for me, it has to be a moment by moment turning my heart back towards Jesus because it wanders. So this isn't just set it and forget it. Like, what's one thing? Is it some of you are saying, maybe I could pray a little bit more? Or others of us, like saying, let's just get real. Like after the pandemic, some of us are saying, oh, I'm drinking way too much. And this is actually hurting me. Or maybe you're saying, I'm stuck. I've been using pornography and I don't know how to get out of this. Like if this one thing changed and this one hurtful habit changed, like it would be a game changer for my life. I can tell now it's holding me back. Or maybe it's overeating. And like I said before, the devil wants you to believe that you can't do anything about it. But the good news is that Jesus is stronger than that. And when we surrender these things, there is effort involved to it, but not earning and not striving. When we surrender and let go of control, the Holy Spirit can come in and start to move us in the right direction. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you know, as you look forward to 2021, you know it would change so much about your life if you apologized. Or maybe you need to set a boundary and you've been dragging your feet about it for a long time and you're just like, oh no, I feel like I'm stuck here again. You don't have to be stuck there. If they're abusing you, if there's addiction involved, if there's adultery involved, you can set boundaries with God's help and the help of your church family and friends. You do not have to do this alone. Now, relationships, maybe your marriage is in trouble and you're just embarrassed. I'm not even gonna beat you over the head and say, don't be so prideful. Like, it's an embarrassing thing to admit you need help. Maybe you need to come to our next marriage night or get involved in a life group or just reach out to us here at the church and send us a direct message. We can connect you. But taking that, what's that first step to getting some health in the relationships in your life? Maybe some of us, it's after Christmas. I'm already meddling. Maybe some of us have overspent and we're dreading when that credit card bill comes in. There's lots of choices that we can make that can improve our 2020. So I want to take a look at a few different passages here that we can reflect on. And the next one is in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 22. There's this interaction that Jesus has with a rich young ruler, and he's checking off the boxes. He's doing everything he needs to do according to the Jewish tradition to inherit eternal life. And here's Jesus' response to him. When Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There's still one thing you haven't done. Sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." just like Jesus. He always puts his finger on that one thing that's holding us back. For the rich young ruler, it was possessions and his lack mentality and his lack of generosity. For others of us, it may be something else that's holding us back. Maybe it's too much Netflix, or you've just, during the course of the pandemic, thought, okay, I just need to check out. But now it's been 6 months that have gone by, and you're like, I need to make some space for God in my life. I need God's help with this. Like I said before, with God's help, next year can be different. There's a quote from Oswald Chambers, a famous Christian writer. He says this: "Beware of hearkening back to what you were once, when God wants you to be something that you have never been. God's never done recreating. God is doing a new thing, and God can do a new thing in your life starting right now. It doesn't even have to revolve around New Year's Day. This may be your moment to surrender everything to God." So I think this verse that we had just talked about challenges us to reflect and change the one thing that keeps us from following Jesus. And that change revolves around surrender. It revolves around coming clean. It may be confessing something, making amends to somebody. There's this word in Christian circles, and even outside of Christian circles in our culture, that has like a negative connotation to it. And for me, it feels heavy, but it doesn't have to be. One of the most beautiful words in our language, and especially as in our language as Jesus followers, is repentance. Like, repenting of our sins means we were going one direction, and when you repent, you turn around and go the way you were supposed to go. Not your own way, but you repent and follow Jesus. So sometimes that does look like confessing your sins to somebody, apologizing, or reaching out and saying, "I'm stuck. I don't know how to get out of this." And that's when people who love God and who can care about you and your church family can lovingly come alongside of you and connect you with the support and love that you need. There's so many great, it's one of the things I'm so grateful for in our recovery group. There is repentance on a weekly basis and life change on a weekly basis. And that's not just for a select few. Like, that kind of power and relationship with God is open to everybody. It's available to all of us. So I love this verse. Moving on, it says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." What if in 2021, as you look back, let's go to 2022, and you look back and see what God did in your life, you say, "Wow, only God could have done that." Like, the good news is God can still do the impossible. We serve a God who created all of this out of nothing. We serve a God that brings the dead back to life. What's dead in your life? Where do you see nothing in your life? And you say, "There should be something there." Like, we serve a God that can speak things into existence. It is possible. If you've lost hope, take comfort. That's the God that we serve. Now, moving forward into the rest of the 2021, you're thinking, "I know, but I've been thinking, you know, Mike, this is great. I'm kind of feeling like you want to inspire us a little bit to attack this next year that's coming up, but I've got stuff on my plate and I just don't know where I can fit God into my schedule or life change into my schedule." Well, let's take a look at this story from Luke chapter 10. "Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me here to do all the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. You know it's bad when Jesus has to say your name twice, right? Like, she's just like, oh no, I just stepped in it. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So Jesus isn't saying here that we all get to be lazy and we all just get to sit around, but he was saying, there's this moment here, and your sister Martha has chosen the one thing that's most important right now. And another way to say it is that Mary, you know, she had a lot to do, but she was thinking that productivity like equaled a lot of doing things, but she hadn't made time to sit and relate to the God of the universe. The one thing is most important. Martha was consumed with what needed to be done, and Mary was consumed with the one who can get things done. We still have a to-do list. We still have the daily things that this world and regular life throws at us. But if we're all honest, there are areas where we can say, like, you know what? If I put the one thing first and put my trust in the one who can get things done, the other things will take care of themselves. I love, there's a quote, I'm gonna just paraphrase it here. Martin Luther said, I think it was, if he didn't pray for 4 hours a day, he couldn't get anything done. And I read that and think, I could never do that. But I like the idea behind it. Like, when you put the first things first and your perspective is right, I think there's this way that God makes sure the other things don't distract you and we can get what we need to actually get done. We do get that done when we put the one thing that's most important, when we put that first. And that's our relationship to Jesus, our connection to the vine. So, number one, let's decide this next year to make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16 says, so then be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. That word time there, the original word is like an appointed time or season, this window of time that we have. And if we could take a visual and see like what eternity looks like, and then compare it to this little teeny tiny bit of however many years we have on this earth, like, let's not ignore Jesus in this part and get so distracted and so overwhelmed and stressed with the cares of this life and forget to serve God here, because God has this amazing, immense, full, eternal life for all of us. And there's God moments and God workings all around us. But when we get too consumed with being productive and too consumed with things that don't matter forever, we miss out and it hurts us. And we wind up stressed, we wind up anxious, and we wind up on an emotional roller coaster. Number two, let's get serious and decide to eliminate distractions. Full confession, full disclosure, I love football. The round one, not the pointy kind. The pointy kind's okay too, but I love football. I watch it. It's amazing. Aston Villa is my favorite football club. They play in England. When they're on, my four-year-old knows he gets to drink gluten-free, sugar-free root beer, and don't tell him it's disgusting. But almost everything stops, and that's fine. But there have been seasons in my life where I get too consumed with what's this team going to do? Are they going to get a good player in the off season, or getting distracted by a mistake that they made? And there's been times where I've like had to stop in my own heart and say, okay, Mike, you're letting a bunch of 20-year-olds in another country decide your joy level and happiness level. Like, it's a silly example, but if the one thing isn't first in my life, those other passions, which are fine in and of themselves, I'm not demonizing sports fans at all. I am one. but it's important that we keep the main thing first. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us rid ourselves of every obstacle and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Good often distracts from what is best. It can be the enemy of what's best. So coming up, we have with our church network this week, starting January 3rd, of fasting and prayer. But I think as we move into the next set of unknown circumstances in 2021, I would love for you to join Solid Ground Church. If you're new or if you've been here a long time, join in with your church family, no matter where you are, and make January a month of prayer. We have some, if you want to fast food, we have some coaching tips on the website, or just fast something else, another activity, whatever it is that you can set aside to make room for God, because it helps. Fasting helps fix our eyes on Jesus like nothing else. I am the world's worst faster. When it comes to that, I'm not a spiritual giant. I could go all day and go to dinner on a normal day and be like, oh, I haven't eaten yet today. But for some reason, when I'm fasting and I've said, God, I want to set some space and some time away, so instead of eating this meal, I'm going to spend time with you, I don't know what that does to my flesh, but I just want to eat a whole entire cow. Like, I want to go. It's crazy how it works. And it's not to earn. It's not to put some mark in a spiritual belt. I need it because it refocuses my heart and my desires on the one thing that really matters. So I'm hoping that you join us in that. And there'll be more information about that as we get into January, of different coaching tips and different ways that we're making a prayer and Jesus emphasis in January 21. I used this quote a few weeks ago, but it still rings so true, and I want to refresh you that C.S. Lewis said this: "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because we cannot imagine what is meant to us by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." So as we move into this next year, number three, let's decide to prioritize the presence of Jesus. And let's make this a let's start off this year on the right foot. Philippians 3:7-8 says, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ." He's saying that so he could become one with Jesus. And I've been asking myself, do I understand that? What does it mean to put things in their proper place? I'm not advocating for some sort of asceticism. God wants us to live a full and rich life. But when we put Jesus first in our life and have a Jesus perspective, we actually get more joy out of the other parts and other facets of our life. The problem with the one thing is that you surrender everything else for it. It's a treasure. But there's nothing else that could possibly replace the peace, the joy, the love, the hope that comes from this intimate connection with the Creator of all things, with Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about this, and I want to read it because it's like a challenge that I believe God has for all of us approaching 2021. "I won't let anything that eventually means nothing keep me from experiencing what ultimately means everything. So right now, even though we're not in the same room, we are the church. We're gathered together. I believe God is present right there where you are. And I want to invite you in this moment, starting now, to close your eyes and begin reflecting in your heart and asking, what is the one thing that's holding you back from experiencing a deeper relationship with Jesus? And as you're doing that, you may be thinking, oh, I've been struggling with this for years. I've been struggling with this mindset, whatever it is, sin, dysfunction, whatever it is, your breakthrough can start now. Probably won't happen overnight, but you can turn your heart towards Jesus. Ask for help. That's the first part. And incrementally, as we keep doing this practice, you will begin to see change in your life. Right now, you can be made clean. You may be struggling with guilt and shame over something that happened recently, or maybe you've been walking around with it for decades. God's mercies are new every morning. You can be reborn. God can give you a new vision for your life, doesn't matter what stage of life you are in. There is more to this life. So let's take whatever it is and just symbolically, using your bodies as I pray for you, I just want you to turn your hands over, and whatever that is, just picture in your mind that you're giving that one thing to Jesus and then receiving his love, his grace, his mercy in return. So dear Jesus, whatever that thing is, we imagine that in our hands, and there's nothing that compares to your peace, to knowing that we are in a loving relationship with you. We turn our hands over and we lay that down at your feet. And as we turn our hands over, we receive our identity. We receive help. God, please help us. Please open our eyes to the people you've put around us. God, we call in friends and family and support, people who know God from places we haven't even thought of yet, Lord Jesus. We ask that you will give us what we need to have a new and fresh start in 2021. We trust you can do it, and we believe you can do it. In Jesus' mighty and powerful and holy name we pray, amen. All right, here we go. Well, next time I see you, it'll be 2021. So have a great New Year's Eve and New Year's. Stay safe. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine down upon you. May God help you hit the reset button on your life this year. And may God continue to give you his peace. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you. We'll see you real soon.